Children, this week we've thought about the ants, we've thought about the clouds, about flowers, fruit, but there's one creation of God that is greater than all the rest, the creation of man. Now when I say man, I'm talking about man and woman. When God created everything other than man, he basically just said, and it came into being. But when he created man, he spoke about what he was going to do and how he would create man. And that which is so very special about man is that we were created in the image of God himself, in his likeness. That means we, of all God's many creatures, were designed to be most like God himself in many ways. So we'll look at this wonderful creation of God called man, realizing that when we talk about this, we're talking about you and me, boys and girls, how God made us and remakes us, the perfect couple. Isn't it amazing how God draws two people to one another so that they want to spend the rest of their life together in marriage? With every couple, there's a story, how God did it, when God did it. And I find each story so interesting because God did it. Jesus says about marriage, what God has joined together, well, that means that God has a hand in every single marriage that happens. That was true about the first marriage, too, between Adam and Eve. After creating Adam and Eve, God brought them together in marriage. It's really hard for us to imagine what it must have been like for two people to be perfect and sinless. That's why we call Adam and Eve the perfect couple. But you know, children, it didn't stay that way. Once Adam and Eve sinned, that changed everything. They no longer wanted God as a friend. Now they were afraid of him. They blamed each other and Satan for the sin that they committed. But it was really them who disobeyed God and ate of the forbidden fruit. And sad to say, their misery didn't end with themselves. One of their sons, Cain, murdered another son, Abel. You can imagine, a brother killing a brother. And after a number of years, Adam and Eve died too, as did all their offspring. Yes, there has been no perfect couple since, but maybe one day there will be. No, maybe not. Maybe there will be. But let's start with an imperfect couple. The Bible doesn't give us a history of all people everywhere. It pretty much sticks to the history of God's people, his church. But from the bits and pieces we do find in the Bible about other people and nations, we find out they were all idolaters. That means they either invented or made up other gods and served them. Some worshiped statues that they made of clay or wood. Others worshiped the sun or moon or stars. There's no end to the kinds of creatures that man decided to worship instead of God. But there never was and never will be any other true God but our God, the Lord. Sad to say, not a lot has changed over the centuries. Yes, in many cases, people worship different kinds of idols, different kinds of gods, but what Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans still stands today. There's one thing we all have in common by nature. We worship things God made and not him. What happens when we don't worship the really true God? Our life is empty. It's sad. There's so much brokenness. Sin is that way, children. It just ruins everything. We lost God when Adam and Eve sinned, and we keep looking for gods in all the wrong places and wrong ways. Now we might wonder, but did God just give up on mankind, seeing that we've all become sinners and enemies of him? Thank God not. Another perfect couple. You might wonder, another perfect couple? I thought everyone is a sinner. How can any couple be a perfect couple? Well, let's think about that for a moment, because it's really important. If Adam and Eve, let's say, hadn't sinned, we might be tempted to thank them for remaining perfect. We'd give honor to them and not God. But even though Adam and Eve ruined themselves, God's way of salvation didn't change. His perfect plan was still the same. No, God didn't make Adam and Eve sin. That was their choice. But God had planned a way where he would rescue mankind from ruin and be restored to his blessed image. You say, well, I know that, but what about this perfect couple? Well, just hold on a minute. I'm getting to that. God knows we're sinners. He knows we're enemies of His now. He also knows there's nothing we can do by ourselves to change that. And in fact, truth be told, nobody really wants to be His friend unless He puts it in our heart to want that, to really pray for that and seek it. Now, since no one could or ever wants to change for the better, God took care of the matter Himself. In Isaiah 59:16, He put it this way: God saw there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, His arm brought salvation unto him. His righteousness sustained him. Take care of it, He did. His Son became man in order to obey in our place, in order to suffer what we deserve to suffer. All along, He did what God requires of us. What does He require of us now? To honestly admit that we're sinners, to tell Him how much we need His Son, to be sorry for our sins, but also to believe that Jesus Christ is enough to save us, to trust that He will give eternal life to those who believe. And because we are so ruined by sin, unable of ourselves to do this, He sends His Spirit and grace to enable us, to give us the desire to trust in Jesus and to live the new life of grace. If we look around, children, it's so sad. Brokenness and sin is happening all around. If we look inside, and we should ask God to help us do that, there's sin happening in here too. But then let's pray to God that we, you boys and girls, men and women, that we might become by His grace the kind of people we were created to be. If God already has given you that grace to know your sin, to confess it to God, and if you are truly trusting in His Son as your salvation, you will be a part of that perfect couple. He may say, here it is again, who's that? Well, at the end of the world, the perfect Savior, Jesus Christ, is going to marry His perfect bride. Who is she? All believers. How? Because once we enter eternal life, no more sin ever. We will be perfect. Now, it may feel, and it often does, like we're a long way from that perfection. And yet, we don't trust our feelings. We don't trust what we see around us. We trust in the Word of God. And He says, whosoever believes in Him will have eternal life. But He also says that when we who believe see Him at last, we shall be like Him. That means sinless, perfect, and with Him forever. That is something to live for.